Good morning. Good morning. Is it on? Can you hear me? Not well? Can we get some more volume maybe? Is that better? Okay, great. Well, this week I was working on my men's Bible study video, and I am working on... So probably some of you guys have heard the Gospel of Freedom. If you've been here for a while, you probably had some opportunity to hear it. It's a gospel presentation that I put together probably about 5 years ago after working with our home and just a lot of different situations. Well, anyway, I have recorded it, and now I'm editing these videos down to about 10-minute segments or so. And I was wanting to send out the first one for our men's Bible study video this week. And it's working on it, and I finally got it done. And I hit that beautiful word, publish. And it just, you know. How long does this thing take to publish? Well, I came back the next day, and it was still... Well, make a long story short, as most of the guys that are on my Bible study knows, that video, you didn't receive that video, did you? It never went out. It never got published. It didn't work, right? And that's kind of frustrating. One of the family devotions that we had this morning, I asked the question, what is the difference between work and hard work? What is the difference between work and hard work? Well, some of it is the amount of energy you have to put into it, right? But sometimes it's just our attitude towards that work that has to be done. Sometimes it's our attitude towards the work that makes it hard. Well, we've been talking about work for several weeks now, and we've talked about how God did a work in creation. And he set up this pattern of 6 days that we should work, and then we should take a day off and rest. 6 days you should work, and then one day you should rest. And we talked about different aspects of our work and how work is good. It's good to work with our hands. It's good to work long and hard. And it's not really something that is a punishment, right? Work is not... God didn't punish us with work, right? He created us to work. When I was over in Africa this summer, one of the guys said, do you know the first thing that God did when he created man? And the answer was, he put him to work, right? That's what we're here to do, is to work. And so this morning, we're going to be kind of looking at this question. This is kind of the question I had in my mind as I'm preparing this message is, because I'm kind of like a teacher's pet, you know? Like, I always kind of answer the questions with what the teacher wants to hear, you know, in my mind. And so, if we're going to do all this work, we want to make sure that we're doing the work that's going to get the reward, right? We want to be rewarded for our labor. And so, what is the work that God is going to reward? We want to get a reward for our good work. So that's kind of what we're thinking about. And the first thing is that God has sent us to work in the harvest. There is an eternal harvest that is available to you and I that He wants us to participate in. As a matter of fact, He says in John chapter 4 that He has sent us to work in the harvest. Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work. Do you not say that there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into the labors, their labors. So God has sent us, Christ, right, when he rose up into heaven, he gave us that great commission, go into all the world and open up as many McDonald's as possible, right? That's not what it was? Go into all the world and what? Preach the gospel, make disciples, baptize them, teach them everything that I've told you that I've commanded you. Right? And so that is what we've been called to do. We've been called to go out and reap in the eternal harvest. And there is going to be coming a judgment. When we die, we are going to face a judgment, and the question is going to be asked, how well did you do in the harvest? How well did you do? Matthew 25, 14 through 30 says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. And immediately he went on a journey. And then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who also had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, 'Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained more talents besides them.' His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.' He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, 'Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them.' His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.' Then he who had received 1 talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground, and look, there you have what is yours.' But his Lord answered and said to him, 'You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed, and so you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has more will be given, he who will have abundance, but from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" Nobody likes to hear that last part, right? The well done and good and faithful servant, that's the part we like to hear, right? And we like to pretend that everybody gets to hear that. Everybody's going to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," right? But that's just not true. The unprofitable servant is cast into outer darkness. Now, in the Roman Empire at this time, slaves could earn wages and bonuses and acquire property. So they had an incentive to look out for the master's property. Some of the slaves were managers of the household, and their owners would entrust the entire estate to them as they took long journeys. So the servants would know what to do and what was required of them. We can think of Joseph, right? Joseph was somebody that Potiphar trusted with everything that he had. He was second in command to Potiphar, and when Potiphar was gone, Joseph ran the whole estate. Craig Keener writes that whereas other servants are rewarded by their master's benevolence, this servant, the one who was afraid, feared the master's harshness, but unaware of his benevolence, experienced the very wrath that he feared. This, says Jesus, is what will happen to those who claim to be his followers, but do not invest their lives in the work of the kingdom. So God has called us, he created us, he's called us, and now he has sent us to go out and do his work. And part of that work is reaping the harvest, bringing people into the kingdom of God. And we have a responsibility to go out and share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, with all people. And we are going to be judged for how we do that, whether we do that. And I think it's important to kind of just give you the mindset that just like as a father, I have my agenda of what I want to get done, right? We have family devotions in the morning. And usually after family devotions, we start talking about, okay, what are we going to get done today? What is it that is on our schedule to be accomplished? Well, some children, they also have ideas about what they want to accomplish, right? And so they say, well, I got this idea what I want to do, right? And as much free time as they have, they're going to be about doing that thing. And I think sometimes in our Christian life, we think all of our time is now free time. I don't need to be worried at all about what God wants me to do. I've been saved from sin, and therefore I can just go out and do whatever I want to do. And I think Scripture says, no, we have an obligation to go out and do the work that God wants us to do. God created us for a purpose, and when we give our life to Him, we give our life to do His will. So, number one is that we are to work in the eternal harvest. Number two is that we are to work for Christ. Jesus says that we should help those who are in need. In 1 John 3:16 through 18, it says, "By this we know, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth." How does God's love abide in you if you say, yeah, I love God, but I see my neighbor needs help and I just don't have the time or the desire to go over there and help them? There is going to be a judgment coming. And one of those questions that we're going to have to answer is, how did we treat God's image in this world? Right? Who bears God's image in this world? Mankind. Everyone. Right? Both male and female. Bears God's image. Matthew 25, 31 through 46 says, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, and then he will sit on the throne of his glory, and then all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from the other, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats, and he will set the sheep on the right hand and the goats on the left. And then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the fountain of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. And then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you drink? Or when did we see you as a stranger and take you in? Or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison? And I say to you, the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. And then he will also say on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not take me in. I was naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me. And then they will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? And he will answer them, saying, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. God has put you here for a purpose. And that purpose is to do His will, to work for Him, to be concerned about His desires, His will. But I think all of that sprouts from the greatest work that He does. And that work happens inside of us. There is a work that is going on inside of us, inside of our hearts. It's a battle. It's an effort. God is working to change us from very selfish, self-centered people into a people that are concerned about other things. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that He who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ, of Jesus Christ. God is doing a work inside of us. And He's not going to be done until Jesus returns. He's doing a work inside of you to change your heart. There's a song that I really like. It's called Joy in the Morning. And one of the, one of the melodies in there, it says, if it's not good, then He's not done. Right? God is doing a work in our life, in our heart, and we go through trials and tribulations. We go through those tough times because God is pounding and beating and getting rid of things that don't need to be there. Things that we might treasure a little bit too much. And so sometimes that's hard work. But there is a judgment coming, and we want to be ready for it, and He wants us to be ready for it. And so He works in us. 1 Corinthians 3 talks about this judgment that's coming. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And if anyone builds on this foundation with gold or silver or precious stones, wood or hay or straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. and the fire will test each one's work for what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. But if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved. Yet so as through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. And then 1 Corinthians 4, 5 says this, therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the heart, and then each one's praise will come from God. So here is what Paul is saying in this passage, that there is a judgment that is coming. God is not just going to test the work, but he's going to reveal the heart of each one of us. It's going to be exposed. It's going to be examined. All those hidden things, those secret thoughts that we think, there's going to be a big, beautiful spotlight shown on them. God is going to judge our thoughts, our actions. And here's really the foundation of what he's looking for. Who are you living for? Who are you working for? Right? The one servant says, you know what? I'm going to go out and do work for my master. Right? And because he worked for his master, he brought in fruit. He doubled his efforts. Matter of fact, two servants did that. The other servant said, this guy, if I lose his money, I'm going to pay big. Right? So he just buried it in the ground. Didn't do anything. Didn't serve the Lord. Didn't work for him. Didn't try to accomplish his will. Just buried what he'd been given into the ground. And I think we have to ask ourselves. Yes, we are here to work hard. And I know that many of you do work hard. But who are we working for? Are we working for the Lord? Or are we just working for the couch? Right? Are we working for God's will to be done in our life, in the lives of our friends, in our community? Or are we just saying, okay, I did my job. I put in my 8 hours of work so that I could feed my family. Now it's my turn. Now it's time for me to get what I want. I want to remind you that there is a reward. There is great rewards coming for those who do the work of the kingdom of God. But I want to ask you another question. What do you do when serving Jesus becomes costly, uncomfortable, or work? Right? Because sometimes serving God is work, right? Matter of fact, it's my full-time job. That's what I do for a living. But it is work. I brought up this big Bible here to represent that sometimes it takes a lot of work to be a follower of Christ. Right? Because everybody else, they get done with their day and they say, oh man, I get to go do what I want to do. And some of us are carrying around this heavy thing. Oh no, I got to go do what God wants me to do. I need to go help my neighbor. I need to go pray for somebody in the hospital. Who are we working for? Who are we teaching our children to work for? There's this story of a violinist, Paganini. Is that right? Paganini? What is it?
Paganini.
Very talented violinist. He was doing a show one night in Paris, playing before a very large crowd. And he was preparing for his concert, or whatever you call it. He's going to play the violin. And he's tuning it, getting it ready. And he's tuning it. He's tuning it. He's getting it ready. And all of a sudden, one of the strings broke. And he continues to tune the next one. And that string broke. And he continued to tune the next one, and that string broke. All the way down till there's only one string left. And the crowd is just aghast. They don't know what to do. Some of them are angry. Some of them are sad. And he steps up to the mic. And he says, "Ladies and gentlemen, one string and Paganini." And he played the violin with one string. And he produced such music as had never been heard before. Some of the women wept. The men cried. Everybody cheered. They said it was as a chorus of angels' voices. When he sat down, the applause was wonderful. One string and Paganini. That is it. Place yourself in the hand of the great artist. Remember that the music is in the artist. The violin is only the instrument of its production. You have been working, but with little results. Now cease your working and let Christ work through you. Not the violin, but Paganini. Not I, but Christ. You have been seeking power, but not in the right way. Listen, it is not attainment, but attitude that is power. It is not so much what you do for Christ, but what you permit Him to do through you that counts. Be filled with the Spirit. Do you ask how? By yielding yourself to Him for His infilling and for His using. As written by Oliver E. Williams. It's not enough to attempt great things for God. We have to allow our will to be controlled by a desire to serve Him. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, what a blessing it is to have a passion. What a blessing it is to have a desire. But Lord, we must test these passions and desires and to say, are they really from You? Are they really about doing the work that You've been given us to do? Lord, sometimes we have strong desires and they are to lead us astray from the way that we should go. Sometimes we have strong passions. And yet, what is the fruit of those passions? What does it yield? A gardener might really like a particular seed, but if it's unprofitable, if it doesn't produce much, it goes by the wayside. And so, Lord, we also must make sure that as we were here, put here for a purpose, we ought to be about that purpose. Lord, there is a judgment coming. And Lord, I believe that we are going to be judged based on the work that we do. Our actions are going to be weighed, and they're going to be weighed in the light of what we have done for the kingdom of God. And we are not saved by our works, but our works reveal our heart. And it's our heart that God judges. It's our heart that He weighs in the balance. We are saved by faith. But that faith is faith that we put into action. So we should not be deceived thinking that we can just go about doing everything that we want and receive God's blessings. We are His servants to serve Him, and He has given us work to do. Lord, I pray that we would not be discouraged by this message, thinking, oh boy, there's so much work to be done. But Lord, I pray that we would be encouraged, knowing that You are faithful to reward those who labor for You. There are so many people in this world that are chasing a dollar bill, they're chasing pride, they're chasing pleasure. But for those who are willing to lay down their life, for Your sake, we will find it. And we will receive eternal life. There is great reward in serving You. The little things that we give up in this life are nothing compared to what You desire to give to us. Eye has not yet seen nor ear heard what You have put in store for those who love You and who wait for Your return. So Lord, I pray that You would help us to be those people. Help us to stay focused on the task that You've given us. Help us to stay focused on that great commission, making sure that not only people across the world are supported as in their missionary endeavors, but Lord, from door to door in this community and the communities that we represent, Lord, that people have heard the good news of Jesus Christ, that have seen somebody living it out in their community. Let us be those people. Let us be about Your work. Because it is You that we are here to honor and to recognize and to serve and to celebrate. It is the work that You have done that makes life beautiful and great. The love that You have brought into this beautiful world through Your Son dying on the cross and giving up His life for us is an example that has filled the world with all kinds of goodness. And that's what we want to see magnified, not only in this world, but in our church, in our church family, in our individual lives. And so, Lord, we thank You. We ask Your Spirit to strengthen us for the task that is at hand. Give us what we need to do Your work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.